Now is probably a good time for you to start checking up on your retirement plan. Wherever your retirement money is invested, make sure it's safe, stable, make sure it's still there. And we'll talk about why I'm saying that on this episode of the Financial Momentum Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Financial Momentum Podcast. I'm Paul Airy, and we're going to talk about some retirement things in real estate today. First of all, before we get started, I want to tell you about my newsletter, where you can go to subscribe to it. You go to financialmomentum.co. Sorry, go to subscribe.financialmomentum.co. Sign up there. It's a free newsletter, comes out every Saturday morning. It's a lot about what we talk about here. Sometimes it's exactly what we talk about here. And if you prefer to read that information, then that's a good place to go. So why am I talking about retirement again? Retirement plans, and because if you go back to the previous episodes, actually the first two episodes of this podcast, back in the days when it used to be called Real Estate Revenue, you can find these two podcasts. It was a two-part series where I talked about the retirement deficit, and it's still going on. It's still true. It has not improved any that I know of. So you can go back to the Financial Momentum Podcast, and you just go back to the first two episodes. I changed the name, but it all came over to the Financial Momentum Podcast. And you'll find those two episodes, episodes one and two. Now, the reason I got started talking about that was that I had watched a YouTube video from Robert Kiyosaki, and there's a guy he wrote a book with, Edward Seidel, who these two guys wrote this book called Who Stole My Pension? And a lot of pensions are right on the edge of a cliff in this country, in the United States. Many are, there have been some that have gone insolvent, and there will be more that go insolvent. And you'll understand why here in just a little bit, why some of that is happening. The problem is, only about half of the people in the U.S. have any kind of retirement plan at all. 50% of the people in the U.S. have no retirement plan. And there are so many stats about retirement. 35% of women have zero retirement savings. 50% of baby boomers plan on living on their Social Security. That's a big mistake. If you ever looked at a Social Security check, the average check is about $1,350 a month. It's just not enough to live on. Even if your house is paid for, and just is still not enough to live on, especially since we've had this 2-3 years here of this ridiculous inflation. So, why am I concerned about retirement plans today? It's related, partially related to real estate. Now, I've been saying for a couple of years, we're going to have a real estate crash. I just don't know when it's going to come. I believe now that it's already started. And I believe we're going to see the results in commercial real estate first. It will move over to residential real estate. How could it not? It's such a huge bubble. It's the biggest real estate bubble in history. And it makes what happened in 2008 look tiny in comparison. So why am I concerned about it, and why do I think it's already started when most people don't have a clue that it's going on? Well, it's pretty simple. If you were a journalist, if you were a media person on television, and you leaned left in your political views, if your station leans left, your network leans left, would you be reporting that we have started a real estate crash in an election year when your guy is coming up for re-election? My thinking is that the day a new president gets sworn in, January 20th, 2025, if it goes that way, that's the day that this real estate crash will suddenly appear magically out of nowhere, if they can hold it back that long, if they can suppress the news that long. And that's what I think is going on right now. There are large properties around the country being sold off for pennies on the dollar. And I'm talking about high-rise office buildings, low-rise office buildings, just large office properties. And it's not going to stop with office properties. That's where part of the hang-up comes in the media. They only talk about office properties. Why do we have this problem? Well, people are not renewing their leases. These companies are not renewing their leases because of the pandemic panic that we had. They've, half of the people are working at home now, and they don't want to come back into work, so they don't need as much office space. And then we have the financing problem. And this is true for all commercial real estate. And that would include apartments, multifamily, in other words, office, retail, and industrial. And the way financing is structured for those properties is a lot different than residential. You don't have 30-year fixed mortgages. The way these properties are appraised is different than residential. They're not appraised according to the comps, to the comparable sales in the neighborhood like a house is. They're appraised according to how much income they generate. That's how you value a commercial property. So when you go finance a commercial property, they're going to give you this money to buy the property, and they may amortize it over 10 or 20 years, but you're going to have a balloon payment in five years, maybe seven if you're lucky. But usually it's 5 years, and what that means is every 5 years you either have to pay off the note or you have to refinance it. So you go through the whole financing process all over again, including getting an appraisal. So why is that a concern? Well, interest rates changed. And this is why I sold my real estate that I had when I moved, when I left West Texas and came to the Austin area. We sold our properties out there, our commercial properties. We sold them all. And it was good timing too, because there were some things happening out there that I sold, I sold in the nick of time and was able to keep from, I averted disaster basically on one big property I had. And so what happens is, or what has happened is, you borrow this money at maybe 5% or 4% to start off with, but interest rates went up. Now you're going to pay 8%, maybe 7.5. Chances are 7.5. And think of what that does to your loan payment. It drastically changes your payment. And not only that, a lot of these loans actually didn't even have to wait for refinancing to come around. A lot of them were adjustable rate mortgages. So, when interest rates went up, it started hiking up the payments on these properties. And that's something that's not talked about either. That's something going on in residential too, by the way. 6.9 million mortgages in the United States are adjustable rate mortgages. And we haven't really heard much about that. So, I know they have limits on how much they can raise it, but still, if you raise it a couple of percentage points, that could knock some people out of the ability to make a payment. back to the commercial issue. So you have to refinance every 5 years. Here's what's happening with office buildings. And it will happen with the others too, by the way. So, but it's especially acute with office properties because you have, they're getting it from both sides. And let me explain that. So their payments are going to go up and their rental income has gone down because people are not coming back in. They're not renewing their leases. So they have a lot of empty space. So the buildings don't cash flow anymore. And when a property doesn't cash flow and it comes up for refinancing, guess what? The lender won't refinance it. They'll have to come up with a lot of cash out of their pocket to pay down the difference because their property, not only will it not cash flow, it's going to appraise for a lower value because the value of commercial property is based on the income that it generates. If it's not generating any income, if your income is cut in half, the property value is going to go way down. And the lender, the bank, will not loan you money like they did before. They will not lend what you expected them to. They're going to give you a highly reduced amount on that property. And say if you owe $1 million on a property and it comes up for renewal and it only appraises for $800,000 because you've lost tenants, you're going to have to come up with $200,000 in cash, maybe more, because you're also not cash flowing. So the lender who has tightened their lending standards might tell you, you have to come up with $500,000 to refinance. Well, a lot of these investors are not going to be able to come up with $500,000. A lot of them have decided it's not worth coming up with $500,000, even if they can. So they're just calling up their lenders and saying, hey, here are my keys to the property. It's all yours. We're walking away. And the reason they don't mind doing that is a lot of these loans are non-recourse loans, which means the bank, the only recourse the lender has is to take back the property. So it does not hurt the company, the investor. They just give back the property. It doesn't matter to them. It's sucking money out of their finances. You know, it's draining them. So they'd rather have it drain the lender than to drain them. This is also going to happen with apartments. It will also happen with retail spaces, and it will also happen in industrial properties. Probably the safest one, my guess, would be industrial properties. Maybe apartments, maybe multifamily. But the problem with multifamily is I do believe they're so regulated by the government. I think the government is sticking their nose into any kind of property where people live in a little too much. They're talking about a national rent control, which would be a disaster for apartment investors. They're talking. I mean, they keep having these eviction moratoriums. They've had that at least once. They've talked about it since then, and. I would not touch a property that someone lives in personally. It's just not my cup of tea. I never have liked that idea, and I'll never invest in a property as a rental property that somebody lives in. I might flip a house here and there, but I'm not gonna have residential rental properties. There's too much regulation involved in that, and they can change that regulation at the drop of a hat whenever they want. And I'm not going to go there. So why is this such a big deal? Well, because last year, about a year ago, they were saying there was $1.4 trillion in property renewals in financing renewals on commercial properties coming up in the next 2 years. That was their number. $1.4 trillion in loans had to be renewed on these commercial properties. Well, a year has passed since then. Now the new number for the next 2 years, this year and the next year, is over $2 trillion. I believe it was $2.4 or $2.5 trillion, but it's over $2 trillion. Where is that money going to come from? That's the amount of loans that have to be renewed on commercial properties in the U.S. in the next 2 years. These properties aren't worth that anymore. Their value is dropping. And every time their income goes down on these properties, the value goes down with it. And a bank will not lend money on a commercial property that is not cash flowing unless you have a damn good plan for what you're going to do with that property to make it cash flow. And they have the confidence in you to do it. And right now, I don't think they have much confidence in anyone because the lending standards have gotten really strict. So how does that all affect your retirement? Well, in these commercial mortgages, when a bank loans money on a commercial property, they take that mortgage, they package it up with a bunch of other mortgages, and they sell securities. They sell that, they securitize it, and they sell it off to investors. So who's buying these things? Well, the people that are buying those securities, investing in those, they're buying that paper, pension funds, investment funds, hedge funds, any kind of managed investment fund, retirement, all kinds of retirement vehicles. They are, a lot of your retirement money is coming from investments in commercial mortgage-backed securities. They're not all in the U.S. Some of these commercial mortgage-backed securities are coming from other countries. One that took some big hits was Evergrande in China. Now they have another one coming up in China that's going to lose, I think it was, they just wrote down about $14 billion in their assets. And, you know, U.S. pension funds are invested in some of that stuff. And guess what? In China, when something like that goes bankrupt, the Chinese debt holders get paid first. The foreigners, the foreign companies get paid last. So I think you can pretty much count on that money being gone for a U.S. pension fund. This is why if you want to have a retirement plan based on real estate, I would not do it with a REIT. I wouldn't do it with a hedge fund or any kind of a managed fund, no syndication deals. I would buy direct real estate, be a direct owner of real estate. Buy the building. Buy small buildings. Don't buy these big things. Don't buy into these syndication deals with, and I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a tax professional. I'm not an attorney. I'm a real estate broker, I'm a commercial real estate broker, an investor, and this is my opinion, okay? I personally would not invest in syndication deals and REITs right now. I just don't think they are as safe as everyone would like to think they are. If you really look close at how some of these syndication deals are put together, they're highly structured toward the guy who's putting the deal together and not toward the people putting up the money for the initial investment. So that's why I have a problem with all this right now. And they're not reporting it. You're not hearing about it on the news. You're not going to see it. They don't want to upset the apple cart during an election year. They want to keep things going as they are. They could probably hide it for another, maybe another year. I don't know. But my guess is the minute Donald Trump takes office, if that happens, suddenly there's going to be mass publication of stories about the real estate crash that we're in. It's just suddenly going to appear. That's my guess as to what's going to happen. But I can tell you it's already here. It's happening. It's not going to happen quick. I mean, it takes time for these things to start rolling along. But once it starts going, it's going to have some momentum that is going to be really difficult to stop. And momentum in that type of a situation is going the wrong way. You know, the financial momentum I like to talk about is going the other way. It's making you more money, more and more money as time goes on and the rate increases. But in this case, it's going the other direction. And the good news is, if you prepare for it, if you have cash on hand, if you have good credit, if you're smart, if you learn about real estate, if you watch what's going on, don't just take what you hear on the news at face value, dig deeper, be prepared. There will be some huge opportunities in this. There will be millionaires made. There will be billionaires made out of this real estate crash. And trust me, it'll make some people extremely wealthy. It will make some who are wealthy extremely poor, and it's not even necessarily their fault. You know, my suggestion is keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your keep your hands on your wallet, take care of it, and be sure you don't run out of cash. And sooner or later, you will be able to find some real bargains in real estate, in commercial real estate, and probably in residential real estate. That will come. There's going to be a trickle-down effect. This whole thing, it's like it's all intertwined. All of these bank loans that are packaged up into securities and sold off to pension funds and other investment funds, they're all tied together, interwoven together, and there's one little thread hanging out. Somebody comes along and pulls that little thread, the whole thing will unwind, it'll all unravel, and that's when the opportunities will come. Everything will come crashing down. It'll affect people's jobs. It will affect the foreclosures. There'll be more foreclosures because people will lose jobs. They'll have foreclosures. Your retirement accounts will start to get depleted people have already started. My goodness, people have already, for the last year or two, they've been draining their 401ks. Just be prepared. That's the big thing. Be prepared. So that's about it for this time. It's not bad news. It's bad news for some, but if you're alert, keep your eyes open, you can make some money. You could become wealthy out of this. You could be one of the next real estate millionaires to come out of a real estate crash. There were a lot of them last time, and if you were around last time in 2008, you've probably witnessed it. And you know what? It always gets better. I've been through four of these. I think this is my fourth crash that we're going through right now. I was building houses during one of them. That came to an abrupt end. There was the dot-com bubble. Then there was 2008. And now this one is going to be number four for me. Things always get better. And there's always an opportunity. you know, the first couple of them that came around, I didn't realize how to take advantage of the opportunities. Now I know, and this one is going to be, there's going to be some good news out of this too. So that's it for this time. Went a little long this time. I don't normally go this long, but this is a good topic, and I will be back with more of this in the near future. We'll be hitting this topic again and again as things start to unfold, and I will see you next time on the Financial Momentum Podcast.